we're going to come around the Word of God now. And kids, I'm going to need you guys to be involved in this, okay? I've got a few actions that are coming up that's going to help us to remember. But this is going to be a lot of fun together. We're going to start with a big question, okay? There was a really smart man. He was a person that understood the law of Moses. And Jesus was teaching and answering questions. And he was in a big crowd like this. And one person stood up and asked Jesus a question. But his intention wasn't necessarily to hear the answer. His intention was to test Jesus and potentially find a fault or a flaw in Jesus. And he asked this question. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Seems like a good question. So Jesus, who is very smart, answers his question with another question. Who's had that experience before? You ask a question and someone answers with another question. And it's like, well, no, just tell me the answer. So he asked him with a question. He asked the man, "What is written in the law?" He was an expert. "What is written in the law and how do you read it?" The man answered, "Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But this man wanted to justify himself even more and wanted to test Jesus further. So he asked, "And who is my neighbor?" That's the title of our message today. Who is our neighbor? And so Jesus doesn't give him a lecture. Instead, he tells a story. And we're in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. And we're going to hear the story of the Good Samaritan. And so, kids, I've got a question for you. Who do you think his neighbor was? Anyone got any ideas? Who is our neighbor? Yeah. Yell it out. Yes. Yeah. The Good Samaritan. You've nailed it already. Anyone else? Yep. Over here. Luke. Yeah. Could be Luke. Luke might be a neighbor. Any other people? Yes. At the back. John. Could be John. Could be our next door neighbor. Jesus is about to tell us who our neighbor is. But in order to do this, I'm going to need a little bit of assistance. So I'm going to ask my son Solomon to come up here. Give it up for Solly as he comes up. He doesn't know where to go. The stairs are over there. And I need a couple of other volunteers. Because in this story, there's some mean people. And I know nobody here is mean, but I need someone to act. Two people to act like a mean person whose parents are okay for their images to be on YouTube. Yep. All right, let's just get all you guys come over here. This whole family, come up here. You come and stand over here. Come stand over here. Now we need someone who's a priest. We need a very wise person. Yes, Rebecca, you want to come up here? Okay, you guys stand over this side. You guys stand over this side. Yep, stand there. Are you acting? You don't know what you're doing. Okay, you can stay there. That's fine. That's fine. Okay, that's all good. All right, and then I need someone who's going to be pretty strong because they're going to need to act out something. So I'm going to ask Dave Hawk to come up here. Can we give it up for Dave? All right, I'm going to come over here so everybody can see. Now, kids, I'm going to read out a story and you guys have got to act what it is, okay? So in this story, Solomon, you're going for a little walk. See the picture there? That's where you're walking. So you're going to start over here, right? Make sure it's symmetrical. There you go. And you're going to walk forward because you're on a journey. You're going towards Jericho and you're on a very dangerous path. Now, you guys here, you guys are robbers. You might want to put your hood on over the people don't want to. And what's going to happen? When you see him walking, you're going to run up and start beating up, but don't actually hurt him, okay? Do you understand what you're going to do?
Yeah.
Do you understand your assignment?
Roger.
Okay, cool. Okay, now what we're going to have here, you're going to be a priest. So when you hear the word priest, that's your time to act, okay? And you just do whatever you think you need to do based on what I'm saying, all right? And then you're going to be a Levite, okay? Do you know what a Levite is? Can you give me the sort of theological background of what a Levite is?
No.
Okay, no worries. You just got to act like it. And you guys, we'll get to you guys in a minute. Okay, are we ready for the story, everybody? All right, here we go. This is Jesus' response to this man saying, "Who is my neighbor?" A man was walking from Jerusalem to Jericho. Don't walk too fast, you're going to end up in Jericho. Stay there. Just a couple steps, there we go. It was a dangerous road. Everybody go, ooh. It was a dangerous road. Twisty, rocky, full of robbers. You guys, yeah, we're robbers. Don't come in yet. Wait. You're just like, yeah, we're robbers. Okay. Suddenly, everybody go, dun, dun, dun. Suddenly, robbers jumped out. Wait, I haven't told you what to do yet. You just jump. Just wait. They took his money. Take his money. They took his clothes. Don't actually take his clothes. Just pretend. And they left him bleeding by the road. Oh. Good job, robbers. These guys aren't really robbers. Let's give it up for the robbers. You guys can hop down, go down the stairs that way. How are you feeling, man on a walk?
I'm back.
You're not supposed to be able to talk. Okay, here we go. Oh, along came a priest. Wait, don't walk too fast again. Someone who worked in God's temple. He saw the man, or she saw the man. See, you got to see him. Yeah, that's right. But she crossed to the other side. Then came a Levite who knows exactly why she's here. Another religious man, woman, she saw the man too, but she walked past as well. She said he smells like onion. That's a bit sad. Finally, this is your cue. Finally, a Samaritan came along. Look at those eyes. Dave, have you done acting classes before? It did well. You're a bit close. Just move back just a little bit. You're not quite there. Because I need to tell you that Jews and Samaritans didn't actually get along very well. They didn't really like each other. So it's interesting that Jesus chose the Samaritan to be the good person in this story when everyone else would have thought it was the priest or the Levite. But actually, it's the Samaritan. And so the Samaritan saw the man. This is your opportunity. You got to see the man. Look at those eyes. He stopped. Wait, can you go back a little bit further? We're going to set the scene here, okay? So you're walking along, then you see the man. So don't stop until I say stop. Walking along, see the man. You stopped again. You want to go back a little bit? Sorry, Dave. We're working together here. Okay. He's walking along. He doesn't stop. He sees the man. And then he stops. Yes. And he felt compassion towards him. We need to see it in your eyes. Can we get a close-up of Dave's face, camera? I want everyone online to see the compassion in his eyes. If you look straight down that one, see the red light? Look at the compassion in his eyes. Wow. Kids, do you think he's seeing compassion? Can you see it in his eyes? If you're a kid, wave if you think he's got compassion in his eyes. Look at that compassion. Holly saw that compassion as well, I think, at some point. He bandaged the man's wounds. Oh, not just a scarf. You thought that was a fashion accessory. No, that's a bandage. He bandaged the man's wounds. Oh, look at that. Wait, man, you're getting bandaged. You can't respond yet. Now you know why I picked Dave to do this, because he lifted him onto his donkey or his shoulder or whatever else he's got. Oh, look at that. Look at that. And then he took him to an inn. I'll be the innkeeper, so you can come over here. And he even paid for his care. You got some money or something? Yeah, okay, there we go. Fake money. And he said, can you read this bit here?
If it costs more, I'll come back and pay.
Wow. Wow. Give it up for Dave and Solly. If it costs more, I'll come back and pay it. Now, Now, Jesus then asked the crowd this question. Are you ready, kids? Kids, let me know if you're ready. Do something. Make a noise. Jump up and down. Whatever. We got some kids that are ready over here. Parents, are you ready? Future parents, are you ready? Everyone here, are you ready for the question? This is what Jesus said. Jesus asked, which of these three people was a neighbor to the man? Who was it? Was it the priest? Was it the Levite? Was it the Good Samaritan? Yes, the Good Samaritan was the neighbor. And then Jesus said to the crowd listening, go and do likewise. Wow, what a powerful lesson and a great demonstration from everyone who helped me out with that. Amazing. Now, I've got three actions that I need for us to do together. I'm holding a microphone, so I'm going to put this down. I'll give you the actions in silence, and then I'll tell you the words. Okay, you ready? Everybody ready? This is the first one. Ready? Like this. Like this. Ready? Or if you're into basketball, you can do it like this. That's a gritty. It was bad. Anyway, that's the first one. Okay, here's the second one. Okay, and here's the third one, right? And we've got to sort of try and do as get close to the compassion that we saw in Dave's eyes. Ready? Can I get a close-up on the eyes? All right, so the first one is to see. I've only got one hand, but these are binoculars. See. All right, all the kids doing it. The second one is stop. And the third one is act. And we put it on our heart because it comes out of compassion and love. So we've got to see, we've got to stop, and we've got to act. Can we say it together? Ready?
See, stop,
act. Now with the actions. So if you don't remember anything from what happened today, remember those three things, okay? See, stop, and act. The first thing is that love sees. The priest and the Levite saw the man lying on the ground, but they didn't really see him. What they saw was a problem or a delay or an inconvenience. And how many times do we go through our days in a rush, having to get from here to here, having to do all these different things? Maybe for kids, it's running be the first in the foursquare. Do we call it foursquare in the ACT? What do you call handball? Handball in WA, it's called foursquare. That's where I'm from. It's a good state. Anyway, we're running to get there and a kid trips over, but we're so desperate to get the king square, we don't stop and help the kid who fell over. We saw it, but we didn't really see it. In this story, what we're learning is that love sees. We can't be so busy about our days doing things that we don't see the world around us, because there's a point that Jesus is trying to make in this story, which we're going to get to in the future. So we can be just like the priest and the Levite and see what's happening, but not do anything about it. We can be distracted. We can be focused on other things, or we can just assume that someone else is going to come along and help. So at school, for kids, this might be someone sitting by themselves at lunch and they don't look like they have any friends, or maybe they've only got a little bit of food and you've got a lunchbox that's full of all kinds of tasty treats and you see them, but you don't really see them. We've got to open our eyes to see what's happening around us. For people at work, it might be a coworker that's struggling and they seem a bit more reserved and quiet. And we see them, but we're so busy doing our stuff, or I don't know what the different actions of stuff that we do, that we don't notice what's happening. At home, it might be a family member who's just looking really down and they just need someone to give them a hug. Or maybe even in church, it might be a new person who's come in or a new family and they don't know people very well. We see, but then we don't necessarily really see. We've got to go out of our way to see. Real love opens the eyes. It looks beyond what is convenient and asks, who around me needs God's love today? So the first one is C. Can we see the actions for C? C. The second one is stop. So the Samaritan didn't just see the man, he stopped. He had every reason to keep walking. It was a dangerous road, as we saw in the story. Those robbers were very convincing. He might have been tired. He might have been late. There could have been so many things happening in his life. But he saw, he stopped, and he had compassion. And that was something that interrupted his plans. But in the story, he didn't mind. We need to be able to, in this fast-paced world that we live in, slow down a little bit and stop. See the need, and then we stop and we, is there anything we can do? Can we share God's love with this person today? Like I said in the story of the kid who's maybe sitting by themselves, doesn't have much lunch, and you've got a big group of friends and you can take your lunch over and say, hey, can we sit with you? Would you like to share some of this? Imagine what that's going to do to that kid's day. What do you reckon, kids? Does that sound like a good idea? Who's going to share their lunch tomorrow? Who likes the sandwich that their mum makes them or their dad? If you don't, you can always share. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. But love means slowing down long enough to help. It means making room for compassion in the middle of your busy schedule. And sometimes the most Christ-like thing you can do is to stop and care for someone. And this is how we become a neighbor. We live in a world that moves fast, but love, being moved by love and compassion, helps us to slow down and see what is around us. So we've had, what was the first one again? John and Jenny have got it. See with the action, see. Second one is? Third one is? With the eyes. Act, love acts. I was standing in the queue for at a petrol station and there was a long queue. Who's ever had to go in a long queue in a petrol station? You're in a rush and you're like, oh my gosh, there's 15 people ahead of me. The bowsers are all full. The tension is in the air. Everybody's upset. And I could hear this sort of noise happening at the start of the thing. And so I went up and I said, hey, is everything okay? And the person at the cashier said, oh, this person's card's declined and they've got no money. They can't pay for their fuel. So I was like, okay, well, I'll pay for it. And the whole crowd was like, what? And like whispers, this guy said he's going to pay for it. Who is this guy? He just walked up and he's going to pay for this thing. Oh my God, I've never seen this before. And it was just a simple thing. I was just wanted to help the person out and also get the line moving because, you know, we got places to be. But love sees and love stops and love acts. And this person was like, you know, I can understand. Cards declined. You thought they had the cash and didn't want to look like they were, you know, in need in any way. But very, very thankfully took it and did that. Managed to pay for my fuel at the same time there as well. So sometimes doing the right thing also helps as well. And so we walked out together and the person said, what can I do to repay you? Like, what can I do? Can you give me your details? And I said, don't worry about it. Just want to bless you, let you know God loves you. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I just did that because I want you to know God loves you. And they said, well, okay, awesome, that's great. I've heard about God before. What can I do? And I said, can you come to church on Sunday, please? If you want to repay me, come to church on Sunday. And just in that moment, that little thing and a little interaction was changed the whole atmosphere of that petrol station. And that's not in any way to show off or anything like that, but just to encourage us. Love sees, love stops, and love acts. If it's within your means, why not go and help? Because if you were in that position, wouldn't you want someone to come and help you? So the Samaritan didn't just stop and feel sorry. He acted. He used his hands. He used his oil. He used his wine to clean the man's wounds. He got bandages out. I don't know how easy it is to make bandages back in those days, but he would have probably used a lot of bandages. He lifted him onto his donkey, took him to the inn. He paid for his stay. And then he said, I'll even come back and pay more if it costs more. That's what love looks like. Being ready to see, to stop, to act, to go out of our way to help people who are in need. Love doesn't just talk. It moves, it serves, it sacrifices, it shows mercy, it gives of what it has. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians where Paul talks about the love of Christ compelling him, compelling us. the love of Christ that's within us, the revelation that we've had of who God is, what he's done in our life, should be something that compels us into action. So we don't just go about the day being busy. And it's, I don't think anyone is who's busy is trying to not notice anything, but we're just so focused on just what is straight ahead of us. We don't see the things that are around us. And God wants us to be people that can see what's happening around us, stop and be involved in the situation. Paul says, the love of Christ compels me. It won't let me stay still. And I think once you've experienced that deep love that Jesus has for you, you can't keep it to yourself. It pushes you to act. And so we've got to make sure that revelation of God's love is fresh within us. In the book of Revelation, there's a church that's doing so many different things. And God says, I have one thing against you. You've lost your first love. You're doing everything else perfectly, but you've lost your first love. Do we need to rediscover our first love for Jesus and what he's done? And is that something that's going to help to compel us to act? So what could this act look like? I want to give some practical things. Could be giving to someone who's in need. It could be sharing with a friend or with a sibling even. That's even real love if you share with a sibling. It could be praying for a coworker. Sometimes that can be awkward in open spaces, but maybe they've got a headache or they're stressed or whatever it is. Just a prayer could be so powerful and moving in their life. For the kids, it could be standing up for someone who's maybe being bullied or picked on at school and standing up for them and saying, hey, that's not cool. We can't do that. Maybe it's being generous with your time and your heart. Maybe it's, like we said, it's helping people to get connected into church. Discover Life Unlimited dinner is coming up 22nd of October. If you know someone who's new, why don't you encourage them to come along? Encourage them to get connected. Could be getting involved in serving at church. Could be volunteering at Canberra City Care, which you're going to have an opportunity to go and see the amazing work that they do and get involved. Could be opening up your home to people in different situations, dropping off a meal to someone that you know that's feeling sick or going through a situation or a health issue, or maybe they've just had a baby you want to celebrate. It could be just your next door neighbor. As I said before, kids, it could be talking to someone who's alone at lunchtime or doesn't have anyone playing with them and coming along and playing with them. How much is that going to make them feel loved and accepted? A simple act of kindness from this motivation of love can change a life, can change a situation. You don't need to put your hand up for this, but just to reflect, have you ever helped someone who's in need? I'm sure everybody has. Just think about it for a moment. How do you think it made that person feel? How did it make you feel? When was the last time it happened? And is it maybe time for it to start happening again? This is an encouragement for me, for all of us. We need to see, stop, and act. For families with kids here, we're just going to take, and anyone else, just whoever's around you, we're going to take 10 seconds just to talk to the people around you, if it's comfortable, and just ask, what's one small way that you could see, stop, and act to help someone this week? So if you're with your family, you can talk with your kids. If you're with your husband, wife, with your friends, maybe with someone that you don't know, you could just talk to them. It's a good opportunity to maybe ask them if they know anyone. What do you think you could do this week to see, stop, and act? All right, 5 more seconds. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. All right, cool. Now your homework from this one is to do what it was that you spoke about with your family, together with your friends, with the church family. And when we say church family or family, we're not just talking about your immediate family. We're talking about how we all are a part of a family together as the church. You might not have a family here in Canberra. We don't. And so this becomes our family. And that's what we want the church to be, is a family together. Now, bringing this to a bit of a close, Jesus wasn't just telling a nice story. He's revealing the heart of his kingdom. He's taking the person that the crowd would have thought would be the enemy and turning it on its head and making them the good person. We've got to be careful in our life that we don't just see the people that feel comfortable or that we're used to, or our neighbor is whoever God brings across our path. Whoever it is. And we need to be open in our lives to help whoever it is that God does bring across our path. He calls us to love in ways that surprise the world. He told this story and it would have surprised the crowd. Our love should reflect the values of God's kingdom and it should surprise people. And he calls us to love beyond comfort and beyond convenience. He said this in Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. That's the kind of love Jesus showed us. A love that gives, a love that forgives, a love that reaches out even when it isn't disturbed. This is probably my favorite verse in the whole Bible, Romans 5:8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. This story isn't just about being kind. This story is really about Jesus. And before we can relate with the Good Samaritan, we need to relate with the man who was on the road, traveling, and life came. He was beat up, he was robbed, he was neglected. And the Samaritan who represents Jesus came along and stopped, gave of himself, picked him up, paid the price, and helped to restore him. Jesus is the ultimate good Samaritan. He's sharing a story about what he's going to do at the cross for all of mankind. We were the man on the road, hurt and helpless because of sin. Jesus saw us. He stopped. He came down to us from heaven. He healed our hearts. He paid the price for us on the cross so that we could live again in him. And when we understand that, we can love others the same way that he loved us. And we can be moved by compassion, and we can see, we can stop, and we can act. 1 John 4:19 says, we love each other because he first loved us. That's what our love for each other is grounded in, the love that Jesus has for us.